Hello, everybody, and welcome back. We are back here with Jana and Kelly from Peace Academy in Fargo, North Dakota. Go back in the old episodes to find their introductions because they are some two incredible women that have created a completely nurtured heart early childhood education center. So I thought it would be really great for all of us to hear some tips and tricks from experts who are on the ground in the field using Nurtured Heart all across the board every single day. So Jana, Kelly, what little hacks can you give us for implementing Nurtured Heart in a classroom with families, with adults, with all of it?
One of my favorite things that we do is we give a greatness note out each month to every student. So every month is a different color. Their name is at the top. Sometimes we'll write even more than one, but we make sure that every child receives a greatness note. Of course, we're recognizing them throughout the day constantly, but it's just one of those special moments that we notice. We write the specific evidence of what we saw them doing, what it says about them. And it's really fun because I'll say, you know, so-and-so, I have a greatness note for you. They will stop what they're doing instantly. Look, come running over. And then the teacher gets to read it to the child. Sometimes even others come around because they want to hear. Sometimes people will say like, well, what do they do when they say, well, I want one. And usually kids are just happy to celebrate each other. Sometimes they'll say, well, do I get one today? And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But it's really fun to see them supporting each other and hearing each other's greatness. And then that child gets to take it home. Parents get to celebrate it at home. My son is 7, and when he was in our program, he saved all of his. So they're all taped to the door, and they're crinkled, and then, you know, it's probably time for them to come down, but we just can't bring ourselves to bringing them down. So they're pretty special.
And for example, like one that your son got was, Levi, you asked a friend for a Play-Doh tool, and they said no. And you didn't throw a fit. You just said, may I use it when you're done. It shows you were patient. It shows your self-control. Helping parents see that in the ordinary, there is greatness to be celebrated and that the big deal becomes the more energy we're giving to it so that he can still read this greatness note years later and it can still feed the growing of his patience and self-control. That is the magic, is that it can be in the ordinary. And that is what's so amazing about the Nurtured Heart approach. You no longer have to wait for something amazing. We always say not every kid's going to make the honor roll. Not every kid is going to be homecoming king or do those things. Does it mean they're any less worthy of being recognized? No. We can find and seize these moments.
There was a student one time and she was not known to be very helpful. And she, one day was, you know, the light turns off and then it means cleanup time. And she started cleaning up. She put like one thing away. And so, you know, it's like kind of your instinct to be like, well, I'm not going to write a note because she only did it one time. But then I reset myself and thought, no, I should write this note because if there's an ounce of it there, there's more of it in there and this needs to be grown. So I wrote her about how helpful she was and what she helped with all these things. And her mom hadn't taken a Nurtured Heart class, but she came back the next week and she said, I don't know what it is with those greatness notes, but ever since she got the one about being a helper, she has been asking to help with laundry. She's been asking to help with the dishes. And so I don't think it's that she really liked the task, but she was getting that connection and relationship at school and at home for being helpful. And it was just this 180 for her in that moment. So it's just so fun to see the kids are so proud and they really internalize those qualities.
We have a job chart and one of the jobs each day is greatness patrol. So let's think 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds come to preschool. And within the first week, someone's going to be the greatness patrol and it's their job to report greatness that they see. And so we can give evidence and say, everyone help clean up after playtime. What does that show? But within a few weeks, Kelly has kids spouting off the greatness that they see and naming it off in kids, which led us to several years ago realizing how impactful it is when your peers recognize you for kids at any age. So on each child's birthday or the date closest to it that they're in school, teacher stands the child up in front of the group and, all right, friends, tell us about this child's greatness. And so one of my favorite was, she'll hold anyone's hand when it's time to be partners. And then Miss Kelly said, what does that say? And the kids know the word. It shows she's inclusive. She's a good friend. And so every child on their birthday every year that they're home comes home with a poster of evidence of 10 to 15 words. And I love your story when you share about how CTI, you got a word you'd have never thought of. Yeah,
so my first CTI, Levi, was 6 weeks old. And so I had him there with me. And we had to do in our small, well, first, you know, you had to write a list of 10 words about yourself. And you could even have the cheat sheet A to Z words. So I write my 10 words, creative, outgoing, whatever. And then we had to do it in our small group. And this guy in my group was like, you are attentive. You've had Levi here. You've been changing his diapers. You've been feeding him. You've been taking care of him. You've been taking notes. You've been listening to every session. You've been fully participating. I haven't seen you with your other kids, but I know you are such an attentive mom. I was like, I would have never chosen that word in a million years. It's like probably one of the first words on the list. I would have flown right by it. And that totally stuck with me. I still remember it was Travis in my group. I know where he's from and everything. And then my next CTI, when we had to write the list of words, attentive was one of the words that I wrote. And so we always talk about, like, it's, you know, you're planting these seeds and you don't know how they'll stick or how, when they'll grow. But
so when we, as the loving community that are their teachers and the administration of their program, are planting seeds, and then you have your peers planting seeds. I have a picture. We have an ambassador program that is, we have adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities who volunteer in classrooms. And it is probably one of the most amazing parts of our program. They come for a few hours a week and they get to know kids. And so it started with Jeremy 9 years ago. And of course, on his birthday, we also had to make a greatness note for him. Yeah. So I'll read a few to you. So these are four-year-olds who are recognizing greatness in an adult who has a very limited vocabulary. But they said, Jeremy, you are creative. You like to color. You are helpful. You clean up. You are inclusive. You play with us. You are a good listener because you listen to the teachers. You are a leader because you led our Olympic parade. You are brave because you try new things. You are thankful to be at preschool. I believe when we can teach four-year-olds how to see greatness in someone who has a limited capacity to verbally connect, that they can energetically connect, recognize, and see, we change how they move through the world for the rest of their lives when they are that attuned to seeing greatness in the people in front of them.
Just the other day, I have a few kids that are a little hesitant with Jeremy in our classroom. And so when we talk about like putting a spin on something or like finding the molecule like of something that's maybe not, it's not the greatest thing, but it's something tiny that you can catch, you know, hold on to. So I had a little girl that kind of keeps her distance, but she's not like crying or anything. She just isn't sure. And she was asking questions about Jeremy and where does he live and what does he like to do and things like that. And so I wrote her a note about how she is so curious. She's wanting to learn more about Jeremy. She was asking great questions. She was being respectful and, that it shows how inclusive she is because I think that will start to grow. And I think she is showing growth in that way, even though she may not be comfortable to sit next to him yet or do an activity with him yet. So we can always find those tiny little things and help build on that.
One of our biggest lessons I think we learned was with a particularly challenging child who had come to us from another program. And Kelly and I were like, we got this. we will just so nurtured heart this little person. He won't know what hit him. Well, it actually turned out the other way around. We got really big and up in his face and got all juicy and all of a sudden, whap! Oh! Learning that sometimes too much, too close, too intense is a space reserved for a really deep connection that is earned through trust and time and commitment. There's no quick fix. Kelly always says it like we fire hosed him. Like he could hardly breathe for all the words and just going back to once you're in the approach, just going back to active recognitions. You hung up your coat. You're here today. I see you're picking up crayons. Seems too simple to be a point of connection, but in some really intense kits and situations, staying there for months might be what you have to do. And it can be both the beauty and the hard part of nurtured heart. There's no one size fits all. It is uniquely tailored to the human that's in front of you.
Yeah, I think really getting to know your students, like when I first learned the approach, I was kind of only looking at those really loud, explosive, intense types, rule breaking type kids. And over time, really paying attention to the quiet intense or the perfectionist or the I want to do everything so that I fly under the radar type kids. And my own daughter, she was 2 when I started this and she hated to be recognized. And she's just such a deep feeler. I think it was like too vulnerable. She didn't love to be seen. And it reminded me, she didn't act out like some students that I've had in the past, but really finding different ways to connect with her, whether it's just active recognition or doing it in a quieter way, not in a loud way in front of others. And sometimes those highly sensitive kids, you know, they need to be recognized just as much, but it might look differently than someone else in your classroom. And so there's not just like a script that I can just do this one thing and then we've got it, you know? So really paying attention to the dynamics of the people that you're with.
And we lovingly refer to it's not to be used like a game of whack-a-mole. It's not that you spout out a recognition when you see a behavior. That's not the time. That's the time to reset ourselves and really commit to recognizing greatness, but that it can be for everyone. And so often the rule following, whether they're internally intense or not, they feel invisible. And they stay that way. And no longer do we want them to feel, we want to grow and water that greatness in them so that they become all that they are meant to be, their full potential, not just live life trying to go unnoticed.
Yeah. Wow. So many nuggets here, more than nuggets, so many brilliant tips and insights. I know a little girl who said she went through preschool, first grade, second grade, best kid in the class, always doing everything right. She had like some sensory issues, so that wasn't always easy, but she did it, you know? And then third grade, kind of rough. There was some trouble with some teachers. The class kind of went out of control, stuck it through halfway through the year, was like one of the only, like 2 kids in the class were like cooperating. She was one of the 2. And then the second half of the year just started kind of joining the chaos that was going on. And in fourth grade, started over again, wanted to try, put her best foot forward. And what she said was, there's just no use. Basically what they want from me is to just not be part of class, not say anything. I mean, if I didn't listen and I just spaced out, they'd be happy. That's what they want. And I was like, man, this little girl knows what she's talking about. But that's what we're undoing. That's the magic, is that that doesn't exist in a nurtured heart classroom. You're going to be seen. You can't be invisible. I also love so much the respect piece that I hear you guys talking about, the respect piece of recognizing different people's unsaid boundaries and emotional boundaries and what's safe and what's mine and yours, and like, don't enter this space, and like personalities and what needs to be built with trust. And it's so nuanced and energetic and like builds with time when we start really watching the patterns of responses we're getting, you know, behaviors, reactions, like what's happening here. And we start to really get to know and attune to the person in front of us and have it be about relationship, which is two human beings. You know, no two humans are the same. No relationship's going to be the same. So it's two human beings like doing this messy thing of figuring out how to connect and be, you know, in the same space at the same time, in whatever relationship that is, in whatever setting that is. I have one kid who has a rule: no giving me recognitions when I'm upset. You're not allowed, actually, you're not allowed to talk to me when I'm upset. So I have to ask him, is it okay to tell you something right now? Can I tell you something about you? And he'll say yes or no, and he'll be honest. And I have another kid who isn't able to be that clear, but I have learned that the only time to give him recognitions is in total, casual, peaceful hangout, chill time. In any level of intensity, he's so sensitive and so sweet and so pure and so like such a like a beautiful, delicate flower, you know. All that is okay in those moments of intensity is like me breathing with him and just being with him and showing that it's okay and that I see him by not running, by not fixing, by not judging, and just by any, like, I can't add to the already overloaded experience of being in the sensitivity. And my words are just going to be extra noise and extra distance, more walls he has to put up to protect himself. And then I have one who, like, the louder and the noisier and the more intense, the better. And I can, in her moments of absolute, like, bigness of feeling where she's not, you know, breaking that rule, she's just feeling so big, I can pick her up and throw her and tickle her and jump on her, and it's like, woo, 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 you know, she'll take it all. They're all different. And they're all mine. They're all mine. How is that possible? Because they're all different. I love them. I think
that since using nurtured heart approach, there are very few things in the classroom that scare us. We get surprised, unexpected. But the fear, I think my first years of teaching 30 some years ago, being fearful of what kids would do or what they would say or how things might roll out, there's the element of surprise we still have, but still can show up with relationship first. Under this behavior, I know we have a connection built over time that assists us getting to the next step. And that's so important with parents. You being an early childhood, sometimes we have I wonders about kids that they might need help with speech language, OT, different things. And that relationship built with parents too allows that safe space to partner and come alongside them.
Yeah, I love being able to use nurtured heart in like a conference or a parent meeting to be able to share. And I think because in nurtured heart, you really are observing and you are being more fully present. So I feel like I do know my students better. So to be able to share, here's all the things they're doing well. And then also here are some things we're working on, or here's some I wonders that we have, but being able to really be specific with parents. A different note that I just thought of is one thing I am always amazed by is how quickly 3, 4, and 5-year-olds learn reset. Like, it could be the first day of school and they have no idea what it means, and they're talking during story time, for example, and you say their name, Jana, reset, and they look at you and you say, you just reset yourself, you didn't even know what that meant, and here you are back looking at the story, listening. And I mean, we've had kids in classrooms reset each other. They've you know, we've taught them this one, you know, a few years ago, reset the sign language for R, and they'll just go up to each other and do this, and they just reset, they stop. And so being able to have that in your classroom. I'm not worried about what's going to be the consequence now, or what do I need to do? And yeah, maybe I need to follow up with a parent and let them know what happened here and there. But being able to just use reset as a constant, and then to be able to have that throughout our whole building, and then everyone's on the same page.
This is awesome. Me popcorning other ideas. We at Halloween, we had a Halloween style show, and we invited all the parents in. So each class, kids stood up and had their first opportunity for public speaking. They get a little microphone. Hi, I'm Jana. I'm dressed up as a crayon. And everyone claps and they go. And afterwards, I ask the parents in the audience, I say, what kind of greatness does it take for 3 and 4 and 5 year olds to stand up here in front of a crowd and be able to do this? So parents started recognizing kids, and one said, it would take a lot of courage. And then we turn and say, all right, kids, let's breathe this in. Put your hand on your heart. We're going to breathe in. I am courageous. So little 3s and 4s and 5s, their little costume. I am courageous. For some of them, it took everything of their being to stand up on this little platform and introduce themselves, but to honor it, teach them how to really breathe that in to who they are, and to model that in everyday circumstances around here with our parents. They see it as, oh, I could do that. I could do those things with my kids at home, has really been powerful.
This is gold. I know that everyone is going to want more. Jana and Kelly, can you let us know if we want to know more about your work, the school that you do? We want to find you. Where can we find you?
Our website is pafargo.com, and you can also find us on social media, Peace Academy Fargo.
Thank you so much for being here and for sharing these little tidbits and stories and insights and wisdoms. This is so practical, so life-giving, so refreshing, so delicious. That's the word that I'm going to use today. And we will see you all next time. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.